had to undergo a lot of treatment for the burns and the damage that the people caused to her. But she says that it's not just what everyone can see that causes her the most pain. She says the trauma and the distress that's been caused by this event have left mental scars that she fears will never go away.
Managers at a Birmingham hospital say their accident and emergency department's under extreme pressure and they're warning people to stay away if they can. A doctor at Heartlands has told the BBC only one in five patients is currently being seen within the government's target time of 4 hours. This all follows a surge in patients last night. Steve Smith's a consultant at Heartlands.
At one stage we had over 100 people in our emergency department, which is 20 or 30 more than is comfortable, and it was quite difficult. We had to call consultants in from home to help out, but the team rallied round and we got on top of it eventually, but it was a very busy night.
A man's been jailed for life for murdering a schoolgirl in Kent in 1993. Claire Tiltman was stabbed repeatedly in an alleyway in Kent by 46-year-old Colin Ash Smith. He was already serving 3 life sentences for previous attacks on 2 other women. Water bills in England and Wales will be cut by 5% over the next 5 years. The people who regulate the industry, Ofwat, have ordered suppliers to fix their prices. Prince William's dedicated a memorial to the Christmas truce in World War One, when British and German soldiers stopped fighting and played football. It's a large metal frame in the shape of a football with 2 hands clasped together. Speaking at the National Memorial Arboretum near Lichfield this morning, the Football Association chairman Greg Dyke summed up just what the truce means.
Amid the despair and destruction, the human spirit still flourished. Men from both sides were able to overcome the nightmare of mass warfare and celebrate Christmas together with a drink, a chat, a cigarette, and famously, a game of football.
And some sports news this hour. Birmingham City's former acting chairman Peter Pan has resigned from the club's board of directors and the PLC. He does, though, retain his place on the board of the club's parent company, Birmingham International Holdings Limited. Pan's contract as acting chairman at St Andrews expired at the end of September. And the weather, dry with sunny spells this afternoon, highs of 8 Celsius 46 Fahrenheit, turning cold and frosty overnight, lows of minus 1 Celsius 30 Fahrenheit. A cold and frosty start tomorrow, dry and sunny during the day with highs for Saturday, 6 Celsius 43 Fahrenheit, and Sunday, well, Sunday's going to be wet and windy. BBC WM 95.6 News. There's more online at bbc.co.uk/WM.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
Who is the best presenter on BBC WM 95.6?
Danny Kelly.
Who's the second best presenter?
Caroline Martin.
Ian Lee.
BBC WM 95.6.
Every week we play that, and I don't understand why would we kick me in the ghoulies just as the show is starting? That seems unfair, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Thank you, Caroline. Afternoon. Busy show this afternoon. 03453-00956. As always, you can call in about anything you want. We'll be talking about, well, should blokes be holding doors open for women? Really? In 2014? There's a jogger who did a really... Well, I think it's a really rubbish proposal. A jogger proposing. See if you can work out what he did. It was dead naff. Oh, and we'll be talking about band songs and Tom Jones. Loads of stuff. 03453 00956 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You can also send me an email. ian.lee@bbc.co.uk.
Ian Lee.
On BBC WM.
95.6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
So here's the thing, and I've experienced this myself. Producer Jo, she's a woman. She's a woman. Hear her roar in numbers too big to ignore. Who sang that song? I am woman. Hear me roar in numbers too big to ignore. Oh, who sang that? Oh, that's going to bug me for the next 2 hours unless somebody calls in. 03453-00956. Oh, it was like a 70s... someone tell me. This is what I'm like at home. Except when I'm at home, I will annoy the children or my wife. Here, I have to annoy you. It was a song about women. And it went, I am woman, hear me roar in numbers too big to ignore. I mean, it's a terrible, terrible song. I think it was written by a bloke as well, if I remember correctly. Anyway, so producer Jo, who is a woman, hear her roar in numbers too big to ignore, was in a lift with a fella, right? The lift doors open. She goes to step out. But he steps out first. Now, fine, these things happen. But she kind of got into a bit of a hissy fit about it. And you're a strong, independent, you had a hissy fit when you told me the story. You are a strong, independent woman. You are almost as capable as some of the middling achieving men. And what? I'm trying to say the right things, guys. It turns out you can't say anything these days without being called sexy. What's wrong with being sexy? Anyway, so she was upset that this fella stepped out and didn't let her out first, and then she kind of, you know, intellectualised it and realised actually there was nothing to be upset about, but blah, 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 that was her natural reaction. So what are we supposed to do now? I don't know what we're supposed to do as a bloke, and this is confusing, OK? Am I supposed to hold the door open for ladies? Am I supposed to allow ladies off the lift first? Why is it chivalrous to allow a lady off of a lift first? 03453 009956. I need to speak to blokes. Do you do this? And women, do you want this done for you? I will give a seat on a bus to an old person, woman or man. And I'll hold a door open for an old person if they look doddery. Never, ever offer a seat to a pregnant lady. Never do that, because, and we've all done this, haven't we, fellas? Take my wife, please. We've all done this. We've offered a seat to a pregnant woman, and it turns out she's not pregnant. She's just retaining water, or is a little bit chunky. We've all done that, haven't we? So you've got to be careful. 03453 009956 is the I had this for the first time 6 months ago. It was this year. I got on a bus. Three young girls, probably about 14, 15, 16. Here, mister, do you want our seat? Oh, that hurt. Here, mister, do you want our seat? Because they were saying I was old. I passed the prime of my life. It's all downhill from here. I'm aware of that. 03453 009956. Can we, by 4 o'clock, work out the etiquette around chivalry, please? Can't buy me love.
I may not have a lot to give, but what I got, I'll give to you. I don't care too much for money, but money can buy me love, can buy me love. Everybody tells me so, can buy me love. No, 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 no. Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me
It's this week that John Lennon was shot, I think. Not this week, obviously. It was 1980. It was this week, all those years ago, that John Lennon was shot. These things should be acknowledged. Do you know who was in the last picture that was taken of John Lennon? Mark Chapman, the fellow that shot him. I went to college with Mark Chapman's cousin. Isn't that strange? Isn't that strange? And he was attempting to be Casey Chapman, and he was quite proud that he was related to Mark Chapman, the man that shot John Lennon. He was proud of it. And he was doing some stand-up comedy, and he started singing a Beatles song really badly. My heckle put down was, all right, Chapman, you've already murdered, your family have already murdered the Beatles once, don't do it again. Shah, thinking on my feet, wasn't I, Shah?
Yes.
Yes, indeed. You lot can't do that. You lot can't do that where I go to you with a new sponsor, you don't. Anyway, what have you got for us, Shah?
Yeah, look, I just wanted to say, like, I gave my seat to women and old ladies, pregnant or whatever. But it just, like, respect, a gesture of respect, like, for in my heart for women.
How much do you respect women, Shah?
A lot.
A lot?
Yeah.
Well, how much women... How much? Hang on, let me get this in a sentence. How much respect should women have for us, men?
I think there's, like, as much as you can, because...
Right. So then why shouldn't a woman, in that case, should offer a seat to me?
Because you're a man.
What does that mean?
You're stronger.
Oh, I'm not stronger than... I'm a very weak man, Shah. I'm weaker than... I'm looking at two women now. I'm weaker than, like, both of those women.
If you're weak, then somebody can offer you a seat. I will offer you a seat. If I saw you on the bus standing, if you're a weak...
But, Shah, this is a nonsense, right? We should offer seats to people who obviously deserve them more than us, right? So people with disabilities, elderly people, maybe even young people, or I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
What we're saying is that women are weaker than us. Women are more needy than us.
Women are weaker than men, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me just stop you there. Shah has said this. Women are weaker than men. 03453-00956. But not so weak that they can't sit. They can't stand up for 20 minutes on the bus.
But I think it's a respect.
And that's a word that we don't hear too often these days, isn't it, Shah?
Yeah, like, I don't know where I learned it, but I do respect the women, and whenever I see them on the bus standing, or I hold the doors for everybody, not just women, for everybody, but I think that's just respect.
Have you ever played Candy Crush?
Yeah, I deleted that.
You've deleted it?
It was, like giving me a headache.
Wow, because I've never even heard of Candy Crush until the MP this week who got done playing it. And now
I deleted it more than a year ago.
Wow. Were you addicted to Candy Crush?
I was. I couldn't sleep because all the time I was just on this game and then my eyes were getting funny. Like, no, I said I have to delete this. Yeah.
Wow. Shah, thank you very much indeed. Shah, a self-confessed Candy Crush addict. I'd never even heard of it. Well, I think I'd heard of it. I kind of heard the name sounded vaguely familiar, but this MP got done for playing it in the House of Commons, Parliament, Lords, I don't know. And now it's kind of every day in the newspaper, there's a story about people playing Candy Crush. Vince, have you ever played Candy Crush? Vince?
Never heard of it.
You've never heard of it?
No.
Well, I mean, it's one of these silly... And listen, I'm a big fan of computer games, but it's a bit silly. I don't know what you have to do. But there's a thing in the Sun today. The Sun have had a... They must be being sponsored by this rubbish. They've had a story every day this week. Candyman Dan. Alexander outed as Cabinet Crush Champ. Danny Alexander has been named the government's Candy Crush Champion after bragging of his wicked skills to ministers. The Lib Dem Treasury Supremo has reached level 230 out of 785.
Now, one of the countries in a mess.
No wonder the country's in a mess. No wonder the country's in a mess. They're all playing Candy Crush. They should all be playing, I don't know, Grand Theft Auto or something. That's more real life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, Vince, this is...
Anyway, I was on about manners in our
street. Yes, manners from heaven.
Doing my Christmas shopping on Wednesday. I gave my seat off for a woman on the bus going into town.
Yeah.
And through seven stores I walked through, I held the door for seven people, and not one of the ignorant pigs looked at me and said,
they didn't say thank you.
The next time they can do what I'm going to do with the turkey.
Oh,
I'll just let the door go.
Blimey, this is good. And were these all women?
Well, there were about I think it was three men and four women.
Why would you... OK, why would you hold a door open for a bloke?
Well, it's just manners, you know, just say it's like going... Let the door, because some of these doors can be heavily sprung.
What I had, the other day, Vince, and I hate this, right, is someone was coming out of a shop, and I was walking towards the shop, okay, and they saw me, and so they held the door open for me, right?
Yeah.
But they held it too early. I was nowhere near that door. I was nowhere near that door. And we both realised that we were in an awkward position now. He'd started holding the door open too early, and it was. So I started jogging. I broke into a sweat to get to the door. Well, yeah, come on, man. That's not helping. That's not helping anybody, is it, Vince? That's making things worse.
You know, it's just the manners. There's only, two words. Thank you. Or thanks. That's what I was going to... Just some acknowledgement like that.
Or ta. Ta.
Or ta.
Ta. Yeah. Cheers.
Yeah. And, but none of them gave me an acknowledgement.
And this has annoyed you, hasn't it?
Two of them have got a piece of plastic stuck in their holes in there, all stuck out of it, with the farms.
Well, Vince, we've had a real glimpse into how a relatively sane gentleman can become furious because people won't say thank you. Well, this whole holding doors open thing for people it's a nonsense, isn't it? Isn't it, really? 03453 009956. It's time to ban this sick filth.
BBC WM 95.6 at Christmas.
It's your turn again now, both the congregation and for listeners all around the West Midlands.
Join BBC WM presenters at St Philip's Cathedral in Birmingham. Monday the 22nd of December from 1 for festive carols and readings.
Christmas can remind us of the pleasure of giving to others.
And the glory of the Lord shone around them.
Entry is free. Christmas on BBC WM 95.6.
We've got a very angry... Mohammed?
Hello.
Got a very angry email from someone called Vajid Ali. Shall I read it?
Yeah.
If it's got... I know exactly what that name could be shortened down to. I'm going to have to censor it. I don't think we can. Can we say bitchy on BBC WM? I don't know if we can. Probably not. Okay, so imagine that's the... Anyway. If women want the whole chivalry thing, tough. Blame the feminists because they want to have their cake and then shovel their faces with it. The bleepy feminazis have ruined it for you. Wow. Wow, Mohammed. Isn't that Vaj is angry, isn't he?
Jeez, yeah.
Isn't he? 03453 009956. Now, Mohammed.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of you this week.
I know.
You're tiny.
I know. I'm tiny.
He's tiny. Did you see the picture of him with Danny? Now,
I know
that Danny Kelly is a big fella in every sense of the word. Okay.
I know.
But Mohammed, you're so wee. I could put you. You could hide in the turn up of my trousers, and I'd never know.
I know. I'm tiny.
What are you? You're like three.
Come in little packages.
You're like 3 foot one or something, aren't you?
I know. I said to my doctor the other day. I says, I'm shrinking.
Yeah. It happens. I'm shrinking. I'm quite enjoying I'm shrinking because it means I can get trousers and shirts that fit me.
Yeah, but I started small.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, he's so wee, this guy. He looked like a little elf.
Well, when they said, can we take a photograph? I said, hang on a minute, can I stand on the step? And that's why I'm looking up at Danny, because I wasn't ready.
Anyone who has a picture next to Canny Daly is going to look tiny.
I asked him to kneel down, but he wouldn't.
No, he tends not to unless there's cash involved. Now, Mohammed, what have you got for us?
Well... I was brought up to be polite anyway, so I always open the door for anybody. It doesn't matter who they are, whether it's a man, woman, anybody,
But you do get, and I've had this, if you don't hold a door open for some women, they give you the tut. If you do hold the door for some women, they give you a right rollicking.
Yeah, but you just do it and say, if they don't say thank you, it doesn't matter. No. That man got really sick. Why do you get angry? Because they didn't say thank you.
There's a lot of
You've
anger
done
in the world.
You've done a good deed and that's it. That's all it matters.
You could do a sarcastic thank you.
Now, when I get on the bus now, since I became Muslim, it's the opposite. Because I feel so embarrassed because I get on the bus and somebody, a woman, will get up and offer me their seat and I say, no, it's okay, you sit down because I'm used to it.
They're not offering you the seat because you're Muslim, they're offering you the seat because you're quite old.
Yeah, well, that's probably it. But this woman who offered me the seat one day, I thought, she's older than me.
Oh, blimey.
I couldn't say that.
Well, yeah, but yeah, I was saying that I had three young girls who were probably no older than 15 offer me a seat about 6 months ago because they thought I was an old man. I took it. I took the seat. Of course, I'm not gonna say no to a seat. I'm not stupid. Yeah. Hey, here's the thing I hate, Mohammed, right?
Yeah.
When I've seen this on the underground more often than buses, but you see it everywhere, and it annoys me so much. You see a tired mother with two kids. Tired mother, she's got shopping, got the kids. It's obviously been a long, long day for her, right? Yeah. So you stand up, you offer her the seat. Oh, thank you. Go on, kids, go and sit down. And the kids go and sit down. I'm not offering the seat to an 8 and a 10-year-old. They can stand like I had to stand in the 70s, Mohammed.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Thank you very much indeed. It really bugs me. Really annoys me. I've offered the seat to the mum. I'm not offering the seat to the kids. Kids can stand. Kids need to learn to stand. 03453 009956. It's kind of one of those shows. So far, sexism, chivalry and Candy Crush. Where would you like to take the conversation? More calls in a minute. 03453 009956. Here's a tip. If you call now, you'll get on. I'm not saying we've got not many calls, but we haven't. Fading joy and surprise, and the gifts we despise are the mold with you. On the 25th day of the 12th month, the sleigh bells are on time, ringing true. How we cling each other. The Darkness, they were a thing for 20 minutes, weren't they? I bought the first album. They spent a fortune making the second album and buying cocaine. And then they disappeared. Up their own nostrils. I was once asked years ago, now it was the dark days, 11, 12 years ago, to go on Celebrity Stars in Their Eyes. This is true. And I said, I'd love to. I want to be Beyonce. They said, no, you're not allowed to black up. Or you said, you weren't allowed to black up. I said, OK, that's disappointing. All right, fine. Then I'll be Gene Simmons from the rock group Kiss, please. They said, no, that's not how it works. We tell you who you're going to be. They wanted me to be the fella from The Darkness. I said, do you know what? Nah. You can take your 3 grand and I'll say no thanks to that. I wasn't that desperate to appear on it. Looking back, I wish I'd done it. Would have been fun. What a great video to show the kids that would have been. Ian, I made the huge mistake of doing the chivalrous opening the door thing for a girlfriend in a previous relationship. Labelled a sexist pig who belonged back in the Victorian era. This is the thing. We can't judge it. We just can't judge it. I tell you another thing that annoys me. I don't think you get it here. But again, when I've been in London, baby on board. The baby on board badges. Pregnant mums wear them on buses and tubes, so we give them a seat. I'm less inclined to give you a seat if you're wearing a badge. She binned me off. She did what? Oh, she binned me off, and I'm sure this was a factor. Current wife, hedging his bets. Look at that. Eyes always looking over the shoulder. Current wife cannot get enough of the chivalry thang. I'm sure she would love it if I threw my coat down over a puddle for her to walk over. What do you do? Nightmare. I blame the girl Pankhurst for muddying the waters. And Jay says, well, Ian, did the man rush out of the lift quickly because producer Joe was feeling flatulent that day? It's a distinct possibility. 03453 009956. Before 4 o'clock, before Franksy comes on, I would like to get to the bottom of women. Steady on. What I mean is, where do we stand on being chivalrous? Are we supposed to open doors, hold doors open? Are we supposed to give up seats? But hang on, you want equal rights. And this is where I think we can kind of dissect things a little bit. I think that most women, am I going to say this? Yeah, I'm going to say this. Most women want their men to be a little bit sexist, a little bit controlling, a little bit powerful. All women love complete and utter humbugs, don't they? Don't they? Remember when you were at school and you were the sensitive 15-year-old writing poetry and mooning, and I don't mean pulling your trousers down, I mean mooning over girls that you liked, and they would always go out with fellas that treated them badly. I have long since thought that women want men who treat them badly and don't play by the kind of modern rules. There are a few that kind of dig all that, but they want blokes to be old-fashioned, don't they? 03453 009956. Interestingly, we've had calling us today our blokes on this, not a woman. I need to speak to a woman. Please, I need to speak to a woman. I need to speak to a woman to find out what it is, what they think about it. 03453 009956. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about Candy Crush. Can anybody please try and tell me what on earth is so good about this Candy Crush? It's like Tetris, isn't it? It's Tetris, isn't it, basically? I think that's all it is. Now, I like my video games. Oh, I'm looking forward to having a bit of a session tomorrow night on Call of Duty. Yeah, why not? Or maybe even Grand Theft Auto. But Candy Crush? You're having a laugh, isn't it? 03453 00956 81333. Start your text WM. This is BBC WM 95.6. Let's get the travel news now. Here's David Moore.
It's looking very slow on the M54 westbound at the moment. That's between Junction 2 for Wolverhampton and Junction 3 for Albrighton. It's in the roadworks area there. Brierley Hill, temporary traffic lights are causing some problems on Delph Road. It's due to a burst water main. That's at the Hill Street Junction. Delays there. In Albury, it's also very heavy on Albury Ringway. That's between Dudley Road and Churchbridge. In Birmingham, traffic heavy on the A452. That's Chester Road, busy but moving between Kingsbury Road, that's the Tyburn House Island, and Spitfire Island. No problems to report to you, though, on public transport. If you can update us, call BBC WM 95.6 Travel on 08453 00288.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM 95.6.
Thank you, David. Let's get the news now. Here's Chris Blakemore.
Thank you, Ian. A pensioner has been found guilty of attacking his teenage ex-girlfriend with acid in the Black Country because she finished with him. Vicky Horseman, who was 19 at the time, suffered serious burns to her face and neck when the liquid was thrown at her when she answered the door in Tividale in April. 80-year-old Mohammed Rafiq, who's from Smethwick, got two other men, Shannon Heaps and Stephen Holmes, to help him. All three were found guilty. They'll be sentenced next Friday. Managers at a Birmingham hospital say their accident and emergency departments under extreme pressure and they're warning people to stay away if they can. A doctor at Heartlands has told BBC WM only one in five patients is currently being seen within the government's target time of 4 hours. Water bills in England and Wales will be cut by 5% over the next 5 years. The people who regulate the industry, Ofwat, have ordered suppliers to fix their prices. And listeners to BBC WM have been at Birmingham's Symphony Hall today for the Ed Doolan Christmas show. Stars like Jasper Carrot and Calabro performed, and there were appearances from BBC WM presenters. And the Ed Doolan Christmas show will be broadcast on BBC WM at noon on Christmas Eve and again at the same time on Christmas Day. And the weather dry with sunny spells this afternoon, highs of 8 Celsius, 46 Fahrenheit, turning cold and frosty overnight, lows of minus 1 Celsius, 30 Fahrenheit. A cold and frosty start tomorrow, dry and sunny during the day on Saturday, highs for Saturday.
Sorry, Chris.
6 Celsius, 43 Fahrenheit.
No, well done. I nudged my microphone fader open a little bit too early.
It's all right.
And that, no, it's not all right. That is rude. That is out of order. And I interrupted your excellent bulletin. So please finish it off. Finish the bulletin. Here we go.
Shall I go with the weather, yeah?
I mean, okay. I don't think anyone's particularly interested. It's cold, it's December, but yeah, why not?
Okay, well, tomorrow's going to be dry and sunny during the day. A bit cold, though, obviously.
It's December.
It is December.
It's Christmas, yeah.
But look at the balmy temperatures for tomorrow. Hey. 6 Celsius, 43 Fahrenheit.
That is balmy. Can I ask?
Ask me. The jumper, is that what you want to talk
about? Yes. What's going on with that?
Well, obviously it's National Wear Your Christmas Jumper Day.
You say that. I was unaware of that. And that's just, someone's just made that up, have they? John Lewis have made that up, have they?
It seems that everyone's unaware of it because I was the only one that turned up this morning in it. It was a bit awkward.
In it? But so... is this actually a thing? National Wear Your Christmas Jumper?
It's for Save the Children. I've made my donation.
You've had to throw the Save the Children in. I can't slag it off anymore, but I will. It's a silly idea. Why not just give money to... How is you... And, all right, let's go back. I'm going to be cracking now.
Go on.
Have you actually... Look me in the eyes. I can see you. Have you actually given a donation to Save the Children?
I have.
You're lying!
I have.
How much?
Fiver.
Is that all?
Come on.
Kids are only worth a fiver.
Come on.
Unbelievable.
But as Christmas jumpers go...
It's pretty special. What's that? Is that... That's London Town, is it?
It is.
So yeah. Local? So,
yeah.
Local reference?
Santa's flying over it with his reindeer.
As he would do. Chris, well, listen, well, congratulations you. Thank you very much. Ta-ta.
Bye.
The Voice.
The Voice.
The Voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM 95.6.
Is it really... Because you lot can't do this. I'm going to see if you can do... I'm going to teach you how to do this. Is it really National Wear Your Christmas Jumper to Work Day today, Leslie?
Yes, I believe so.
You can do it. You're the first person I've had at the WM that can go with a spontaneous line tossed at them. Are you wearing your Christmas jumper?
I haven't got one.
What? You not got one?
No.
I got one last year. Last year they were big and everyone got one. And if I get one, that means that the bubble has burst quite some time previously. And I got one and it really was a lot of fun. But I won't be wearing it at work because that would be silly. That'd be silly. Here's the thing, Leslie.
Yes.
I'm not feeling very Christmassy this year. And it's only a couple of weeks away, and I'm not feeling it. We've got the tree up, the kids are excited, the parcels are being delivered from Amazon, I mean from Father Christmas. But I'm just not feeling it.
Probably too early, yes. You need to get a little bit more alcohol or something.
Well, hang on a second. Where are we? It's December the 12th. In 2 weeks' time, it will be over.
No. Christmas is not over in a day, is it? No. You can't say that.
Well, yeah.
Christmas is the season and Twelfth Night is when Christmas officially finishes.
Now, I always get confused with it. When is Twelfth Night?
6th of January.
Oh, no. Christmas is finished. Christmas is finished before New Year. I will give you December the 28th, about 4 o'clock. That's when Christmas finishes.
No, but it's season, though, isn't it? If you go to different parts of the world, they don't celebrate it till January the 6th.
Oh, those people are, yeah, those people, are, without being offensive to anybody, they're nuts, aren't they? They are nuts. And the thing, I've been to see pantomime in January. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You've got to go to pantomime in December.
It's still a season, though, isn't it? It's not just for the day.
Are you going to go to a pantomime this year?
No.
Oh. I'm going to see... the pantomime is well expensive. I bought four tickets. One for me, one for my wife, one for me, one for my two children, aged 4 and 2. 120 quid.
Been there and done that. Might have left home now, so I'm quite happy just not to go anymore.
I like a bit of panto. I love it. I love shouting. I love hearing kids laughing.
Oh, it is nice.
You get 600 kids laughing in a theatre. There is no sound like it. And I love the fact, because in the theatre, we're all supposed to be very quiet and very proper. And I love the fact that that rule is broken pretty much from the first second. And kids shouting in a theatre is wonderful.
Yes.
120 quid for four tickets, though. To see Basil Blooming Brush and Ridian!
You'll enjoy it when you get there. Don't be a bar humbug.
I will enjoy it, but I'll be counting the pennies. Leslie!
Yes?
You sound like a lady of a certain vintage. Yeah?
OK, what do you mean by that? How old?
You sound... Do you want me to guess?
Go on, then.
67.
Excuse me?
68.
I'm not that old.
52.
No!
How old are you?
I'm not telling you now.
Were you in your 40s?
I could be.
I don't believe you.
Why not?
Because you've got an old woman's voice.
I'm not an old woman.
You've got an... OK, no. Are you a smoker?
No.
Oh, my God, Leslie, I'd ask for your money back. You're in your 50s?
Yeah, possibly.
56.
Oh, that's it. Just leave the number there now.
59.
I'm not going to say anymore.
She's 63, I was right. So, Leslie, should I be holding the door open for you?
Well, I like it when people hold the door open and gentlemen, because I always say thank you to them.
Oh, but do you give them a little wink?
Yeah.
Little flash of the stocking top.
Well, I don't wear stockings anymore, it's too cold.
Yes. It is too cold, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you like it, but then you've got the vote. You're almost earning three quarters what I earn. Why should we hold doors open for you?
Why not?
Hang on. Jonathan...
Hello?
Yeah, Jonathan, do you hold doors open for women?
I do not, no.
Well, tell Leslie why you don't.
Well, the reason I don't, Ian, is because...
Turn your radio off, Jonathan, because it's going to confuse all of us here a little bit. Yes.
All right.
There we go. So tell Leslie why you don't bother, why you hate women.
I don't bother because... Oh, go on, she wants to talk again.
No, Jonathan, you're hearing voices in your head, you lunatic. I wouldn't want Jonathan holding a door open for me. He's nuts. Right, Jonathan, you speak. No one else is going to speak. Go.
OK, thank you. Now, I must say at the outset, I don't always agree with you because you tend to make people look a bit silly.
Not me doing that today, Jonathan, but yes.
Yeah, but on this occasion, I fully agree with you, Ian.
Oh.
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, you go back to the Bible, don't you? Man made God in his image.
No, God made man. God made man in his image.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, yeah. And but there's no mention of women there, is there?
He's right, Leslie. Women aren't mentioned in the Bible. Women are.
It's like a cup of tea and a biscuit. We're the cup of tea. They're the biscuit.
And they dunk. No, Leslie, he's right.
I'm not saying they're second class.
No.
I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is there's a place for them.
Right, OK. And where would that place be, Jonathan?
Oh, well, it depends what time of the year it is, really. I think, it depends. You could be naughty there, couldn't you?
You could be. Leslie, as Jonathan points out, there aren't any women in the Bible.
Well, what about
in the Bible? But God didn't make them first, did he?
Right, Jonathan, I'm going to let you go.
Wasn't there Mary? Bethlehem.
Yes, there was. I've let Jonathan go because I think he's calling us from space.
Okay, let him go.
He's gone, Leslie.
He's gone.
It's just you, and I think you're right. There are one or two women in the
There's
Bible.
There's quite a lot
there?
Of women in the Bible.
So if we see Leslie in Acocks Green, we should be holding doors open for you and offering seats.
If you want to, and if you don't, then that's fine. But if you do, then I would always say thank you.
Ever played Candy Crush?
No, it's one of those stupid things I wouldn't even entertain.
03453 00956. We kind of got somewhere, I think, but then I think I don't know where. 03453 00956.
You don't hear me say.
03453 00956. So, should we be chivalrous, and have you ever played Candy Crush? Those are the two things. You can call in about any other bits and pieces as well, if you want. It's one of those kind of shows where, you know, I put out bits and pieces, you give us a call, and you tell us bits and pieces. I'm searching around for the mirror. Let me do this, and I'll find another story for you. Hang on.
There's no way that you can hide from that fact. It's a big, big game.
This Saturday, BBC WM 95.6 presents exclusive FM commentary of West Bromwich Albion against Aston Villa.
I'd rather have the pressure than no. You've got to have pressure to perform.
Can Alan Irving's side restore some pride at home? Can the Villa go six games unbeaten?
Benteke is back. He's back on the score sheet.
West Brom versus Villa, the West Midlands derby, with our guest summarisers Ian Hamilton and Graham Taylor, live from the Hawthorns, this Saturday from 2.
BBC WM 95.6.
Hey, great news, by the way. You know that brilliant big new library you've got this week? Yeah, they're going to cut the hours and get rid of a load of staff. It's only been there a year! It's only been there a year! They've got one of the best libraries in the country, guys. Yeah, we're going to cut the hours and get rid of a load of staff. But we've only been here a year! It's a library! One of the best libraries in the country, nay, in Europe. And to save money, yeah, going to cut the hours and cut the staff. Why not? Why not? Alan's in Willenhall. Good afternoon, Alan.
Hello, Ian.
One of the best libraries in the country, and they're going to cut the hours and decimate the staff. Really?
Looks like it.
It's sad, isn't it?
It is. Why build it in the first place?
Oh, well, they built it as a centre of knowledge. It's a great library.
Yeah, it should be kept open.
They should be
fully staffed.
It should be kept open. It should be fully staffed. They should open it. I've just seen the future. It's a 24-hour library. It's a 24-hour library. So if you've got insomnia or you're finishing work at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can go and sit in the library and read. How cool would that be?
Great.
Okay, Alan, I'm trying. You're not going for it, but I'm trying. You guys can't do this. Alan, what have you called in about?
Well, learning, basically.
Oh.
I'd like to ask the question, what you think. Is Malala Yousafzai a hypocrite?
Pourquoi? Tell me why.
Why? Because she's missing the very thing that she's campaigning for.
What's this?
Education.
Where, how is she missing it?
Well, was it yesterday or the day before she was picking a prize up in Sweden?
She's
not in school.
Right, okay, so she took a day off school?
I think it would take more than a day.
Okay, so what, she took a week off school?
Yeah.
Right, and what? Remind me what she was picking up?
She was picking up a joint Nobel Peace Prize.
Right, okay. Do you not think, Alan, travelling to Sweden to pick up a Nobel Peace Prize would be quite an educational experience for a young person?
Well, I think where she's standing from, she is doing the talking.
Right, yeah, but yeah, exactly. So she, how old is Malala now? I can never remember.
She's 17.
17, okay. So a 17-year-old woman, girl, whatever you want to describe her as, gets the chance to go to Sweden to pick up a Nobel Peace Prize and address the assembled bodies there.
Yeah.
Right.
But what about the other...
Well, hang on.
What about...
Hang on.
Sorry, Ian.
That's a pretty outstanding, unique, I'm going to say it, educational experience, isn't it?
Well, yeah, sure. But
so why is she a hypocrite?
Well, what about the other times when she's off doing speeches around the country and around the world and missing her schooling?
And she doesn't take schoolwork with her, does she?
I wouldn't imagine so.
Why would you not imagine so, Alan?
Because I think she's educated enough to be able to leave school as
she's
she is.
Educated enough?
Why should children go to school till 18?
Well, if they want to. Well, I think it's compulsory. Is it compulsory yet? I know they're going to make it compulsory at some point. Yeah, OK. Well,
it is.
OK, but hang on. So you're contradicting yourself. On the one hand, you're saying she's a hypocrite because she's leaving school to go to these amazing experiences that we will probably never have in our lifetimes, Alan. So she's getting a much richer education than I ever got. But then you're saying, actually, that at the age of 17, she shouldn't have to go to school.
Well, if my daughter tries to take her children out to go on a foreign holiday and gain experience and worldwide learning there, she's denied and she'll get fined £30 a day for it.
Do we know that Malala isn't paying the £30 a day?
Well, she could afford it, can't she?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What's your beef with Malala?
No beef.
It sounds like I'm hearing beef. You've mentioned the fact that she's bunking off school. Well, she's going to go and collect a Nobel Peace Prize. I wouldn't call that bunking off. You've kind of said with a slight tone that, well, she can afford it. I'm picking up, and I'm making up, Alan, I'm making up jealousy.
No. She's fighting for a really good cause. And every young girl and boy in the world deserves an education.
Yeah, and she's having an education like no other.
But to what age? It's the government of this country that have said 18, and that is to falsify the unemployment figures.
Okay. Well, now you're having a go. Now you're having a. First of all, you've called in to say, "Is Malala a hypocrite?" And now you're having a go at the government. You've got beef with someone, and I can't work out who it is.
I'm going to beef with anyone.
Well, but you mentioned so far you've pointed the finger at Malala. Now you're pointing it at the government. I'm confused.
I'm just saying that she's missing her schooling for the very thing that she's campaigning for.
But do you not think that she's getting a much richer education by travelling the world?
No, because
you don't think that she's getting, at the age of 17, a richer education by going to Sweden to address the Nobel group, whatever they're called, and pick up a Nobel Peace Prize? You don't think that's educational?
Listen, Ian, the school has a curriculum that they follow week by week.
Yeah.
And you take a week out, they're a week behind. They've missed that week.
Oh, Alan, are you... Alan, thank you very much indeed. Come on, mate. I don't know who he was having a pop at. Was it Malala? Was it the government? I don't really understand. I don't quite get the thing about you can't take your kids out of school and stuff like that. I think for some things, it's worth it. For some things, it's educational. And come on, you can't argue. She's 17 and she's going to go and collect the Nobel Peace Prize. You can't talk about that. You can't criticise that, can you? Or maybe you can. 03453 009956. I've noticed since doing this show that there's a real jealousy, not the right word, suspicion, it's closer, of Malala from a significant percentage of you. And I don't quite know why. We've got an anonymous parent on the line. Good afternoon, anonymous parent.
Afternoon.
I'm going to call you Alice, if you don't mind, because I like to have a name. I really pray that's not your real name.
I'll go ahead with that name.
All right, right, Alice. So, Alice, you're in Handsworth. What would you like to say?
Hi, I just wanted to... I've got a problem with a primary school.
OK, don't mention the name of the school, but OK.
Yeah, well, it is. We arrived at the primary school for our children's nativity play, and it started at 2 o'clock, and some of the parents arrived at 10 past, quarter past, up until half past, there was parents arriving, and there's about 15 parents of us. As soon as we got to the school at 10 past, we were refused entry. Even there was a parent whose wife was sitting inside in the nativity, and they wouldn't let the husband inside. Right. And there was an old grandparent, she was there as well, and I was there. My sister had come from London to see her niece's nativity, and she wasn't able to go inside. They completely refused. And we asked them to send the headmaster, because it was the headmaster that had refused us entry. And when we waited there 20 minutes, he still didn't arrive. They couldn't...
He was probably watching the nativity, wasn't he?
He was, and he wouldn't let the parents in.
But why did you turn up late?
Well, I had to pick my sister up from London, from the coach station, just come from Digbeth. from London, and I had to pick her up from there. Other parents were just left work, and they
but
were...
But you said that some parents turned up at 2:30. Well, if it started at 2 o'clock...
It started, I'm sure, yeah, it did start at 2 o'clock, but they did, some did arrive up until 2:30.
Wow.
Which was
so
quite late.
So they weren't that bothered then?
No, they were bothered. They just had things to do, and they completed what they needed to do, and they'd arrived. So I can't answer for them. But we arrived at just about 7 past 2.
Okay.
And they wouldn't let us in. I said, it's unacceptable, because our children were walking past the corridors where we were standing, waving at us, and they still wouldn't let us in.
Alice,
what are we supposed to say to our children?
Well, I'll tell you what. Is this the only chance you've got to see the Nativity play, or is there another performance?
No, this is the only one.
Okay. Well, I know that Producer Joe is putting a call into the school to kind of try and get their side of the story. It would only be fair. Can I put this out to the listener, Alice? Because I'm kind of torn. Okay, I'm torn. Part of me is thinking, yeah, this is a great injustice. Of course, you should have been let in. Part of me is thinking, well, if for whatever reason you couldn't turn up on time. Tough. The school were right. And I don't know what the right answer is. And I wouldn't mind being guided by the listeners, if that's OK.
Yeah, we said to them, can you give them an explanation? But they had no explanation. They said, sorry, just refuse. And I said, OK, well, if you're refusing, we won't argue with you. As we want to speak direct to the headmaster. And
you couldn't expect him to leave the performance, could you?
It hadn't started because the class is still going in. We were there 15, 20 minutes later, and there's still classes, children going into the hall.
OK. Alice, listen, I appreciate your call. We're putting a call into the school. Thank you very much indeed. Alice, not her real name. Can I throw this over to you, dear listener? Because I don't know what the answer is here. Alice was 10 minutes late. Some of them were half an hour late. Half an hour late for your kid's nativity. That seems a little bit rich, doesn't it? The school wouldn't allow them to go in. Was the school right? And we've only got Alice's side of the story. We'll try and get the school's side of the story. Was the school right to refuse them entry? Part of me kind of thinks, well, if you were late, well, yeah, you shouldn't be allowed in. But is that a bit harsh? 03453 009956. Was the school right to stop these parents entering the school nativity? Half an hour late, some of them. I mean, guys, come on. I don't know what I think on this. I need you to guide me, please. 03453 009956. 03453 009956. Well, OK, we've had chivalry, we've had Candy Crush, and now we've got parents not being allowed into a nativity play. I miss my boys' nativity play. It was 9:30 in the morning and I was working. So maybe that's why I'm a little bit bitter. I don't know. We just spoke to a mum, Alice, not her real name, was not allowed in to see the kids' nativity play. They had to be there at 2. She turned up at 2:10. Some parents turned up at 2:30. Was the school right to not let them in? Or were they being a little bit bar humbug, if you know what I mean? 2:30, you're 30 minutes late. That seems a little bit, well, it says to me, you're not that bothered, really. It says to me, you couldn't really care. 30 minutes late. And I know things happen, traffic is... But you allow for those things, don't you? You try and get there early. 03453... 009956. Very simple question. Who was right? The parents who were upset that they weren't allowed in, or the primary school that said, you know what, you've turned up late, you're not coming in. And to expect the headmaster to come out during the performance seems a little bit unfair. I think that's a little bit unfair. 03453 009956. Let's get the travel news now. Here's David.
On the M6 southbound, we've got a lane closed on the entry slip road. That's due to a broken down vehicle at junction 2 for Coventry and the M69, but traffic is moving well around there. And it's also very slow on the M54 westbound. That's at junction 2, Wolverhampton, to junction 3 for the A41. Also, Kidderminster Road at Hagley Roadworks area there, it's getting rather busy too. If you can update us, call BBC WM 95.6 Travel on 08453 002 88.
Waking up the West Midlands with the latest news, sport, weather and travel updates. Pete Morgan at breakfast is back Monday morning from 6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM 95.6.
Got another very angry email from Vajid. Vaj seems to have a real problem with women. I'll read what he says after the news with Chris Blakemore.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
You're welcome. You okay, Chris?
Yeah, I'm fine. A pensioner has been found guilty of attacking his teenage ex-girlfriend with acid in the Black Country because she finished with him. Vicky Horseman, who was 19 at the time, suffered serious burns to her face and neck when the liquid was thrown at her after she answered the door in Tividale in April. 80-year-old Mohammed Rafiq, who's from Smethwick, got two other men, Shannon Heaps and Stephen Holmes, to help him. All three were today found guilty and they'll be sentenced next Friday. West Midlands Police have given us a statement and BBC WM's Kevin Pashby has been looking at it.
Yeah, the statement's from the investigating officer, DC Jason Mosley of West Midlands Police. He says this was a horrifying and complex case which centred around a controlling relationship. Rafiq's young ex-partner was seriously injured and left with devastating, lasting scars, which one can only presume was his intent given the nature of the planned attack.
There's fresh evidence today of growing pressure on A&E units across England. Last week, fewer than 92% of patients who visited emergency departments were seen within 4 hours. That's short of the 95% target. Meanwhile, managers at a Birmingham hospital say their accident and emergency department's under pressure and they're warning people to stay away if they can. A doctor at Heartlands has told BBC WM only 1 in 5 patients are currently being seen within the government's target time of 4 hours. Richard Murray is from the think tank The King's Fund. He says the next few months are going to be really difficult.
I have to say, I think it is pretty bleak. The performance numbers that have come out this week are certainly probably the worst I think we've seen at this time of year for a very long time, and the number of people showing up at A&E, we're continually bouncing at the highest level the NHS has ever seen. This is only December. This is not the peak of the winter period.
A former milkman has been jailed for life for the murder of a schoolgirl 4 days after she turned 16. Colin Ash Smith will serve a minimum of 21 years for stabbing Claire Tiltman in an alleyway in Kent in 1993. Ash Smith's already serving 3 life sentences for attacking other women. Water bills are set to fall by 5% or around £20 over the next 5 years. That's before inflation, the rate at which all goods and services are rising. It follows a decision made by the industry regulator, Ofwat, who want water companies to do more for less.
Councils in England made £667 million from parking charges last year. That's an increase of 12%. The figures have been released by the RAC Foundation today, but the Local Government Association says the report's misleading. And the Duke of Cambridge has commemorated the 1914 Christmas truce by attending a ceremony at the National Memorial Arboretum near Lichfield today. Prince William unveiled a memorial to the moment soldiers stopped fighting and played games of football during the First World War.
We all grew up with the story of soldiers from both sides putting down their arms to meet in no man's land on Christmas Day 1914, when gunfire remarkably gave way to gifts. It remains wholly relevant today as a message of hope and humanity, even in the bleakest of times. Football, then, as now, had the power to bring people together and break down barriers.
And the weather dry with sunny spells this afternoon. Highs of 8 Celsius, 46 Fahrenheit. Turning cold and frosty overnight. Lows of minus 1 Celsius, 30 Fahrenheit. A cold and frosty start to tomorrow. Dry and sunny during the day tomorrow with highs for Saturday 6 Celsius, 43 Fahrenheit. And Sunday is going to be wet and windy. BBC WM 95.6 News. There's more online at bbc.co.uk. /WM.
You strike me as old school.
Go on, why? Because of the jumper? Or
No, nothing to do with the fashion sense. Although, no, because, listen, I can hardly talk. I imagine that you would, you could spend all day holding doors open for ladies, wouldn't you?
Do you know what? When I was listening to that, I caught the train, had to go to Manchester a couple of months ago.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, I know. And I'd booked a ticket, I'd reserved a ticket, yeah. A seat.
Oh, yeah.
And I got on it. And there were two ladies sitting on it, and I thought, I can't.
No.
So I ended up standing up all the way to Manchester. Well,
I don't know if that's chivalrous or insane. I'd have said, excuse me, that's mine, move. One of them could have stayed there.
I know, but I thought, you know, I can't do it. You know, what do you think?
I think you are a very special, rare breed.
Or an idiot.
One of those options is correct, yes.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
Who is the best presenter on BBC WM 95.6?
Danny Kennedy.
Who's the second best presenter?
Caroline Martin.
Ian Lee.
BBC WM 95.6.
I'm being questioned on that, yes. If I had reserved a seat, you get that little ticket in the old trains where it's like a little digital thing on there. If I had reserved a seat, then yes, I would have asked somebody to move. I've paid for that seat. I wouldn't stand all the way to Manchester. I would say, excuse me, ladies, one of you is going to have to move. Of course you would. 03453 009956, your thoughts on that. And also the story of some disgruntled parents at a nativity play, or rather not at a nativity play.
Ian Lee.
On BBC WM
95.6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
Before that, though, we were talking about being chivalrous, and Vajid emailed us in earlier on about, the feminazis, he called them. Well, Vajid's got a real problem with women. We're talking about the library. You're beautiful. This beautiful library, one of the best libraries in Europe. You've had it a year. They're going to cut the hours and cut the staff. Nice one, guys. Great thinking. Well, Vaj says, remember a few months ago when feminists demanded retrospective equal pay? If they didn't, the council would have been able to keep the library open longer and fully staffed. Feminists are responsible for the library troubles. Really? Vaj, do you really think that? Vaj, what is your beef with women? 03453 009956. I mean, join the emails, Vajid, but give us a call. It'd be good to talk to you. Mano a mano. Now, before the news, took a cracking call from, we're calling her Alice for no other reason than that's the first name that sprang to mind. And she was, one of her kids was in a nativity play. People had travelled up from London to see this. The play started at 2. They got there at 2:10. They were refused entry. Other parents turned up late. Some turned up as late as 2:30. 30 minutes late. They were refused entry. Was the school right to say, no, you can't come in? Or were they being a little bit mean, a little bit heavy-handed? 03453 009956. Claire's on the M5 and is an ex-primary teacher. Good afternoon, Claire.
Good afternoon.
Was the school right to turn them away?
First of all, I do feel sorry for parents who do miss the nativity play.
Yep.
However, I taught for 8 years, and the work that goes into these plays is, well, you lose sleep over them as a primary school teacher.
Do you really? Do you really fret and stress about it?
It's dreadful. It's a dreadful amount of work.
Wow.
And when the door opens and the children are already acting, they start waving to parents.
Yeah.
They become distracted. They yeah. lose the lines. Parents who are already there can't hear the children speaking because other parents are walking through the hall. And to be honest, if it's a one-off nativity, really you should arrange your time better so you are there to watch your child.
This is my knee-jerk reaction, Claire, is to completely agree with you. I kind of think you're right, and I wonder if I'm being a bit harsh, because when I didn't see my boys' nativity this year, but I've seen other performances, and they do a thing now where the kids all come out on stage and they've got 10 seconds to wave. So they get the waving out of their system because they like to yeah. wave to their parents. They do that, they get that out of their system, then the kids can concentrate on the performance. But you're right, if parents were coming in, then little Johnny would see Mummy and he'd want to wave to her, and then you get another parent comes in and they've got high heels on and they're making a big clacking noise in the school hall, and another mum or dad can't hear, you know, little Sophie's lines. You're right, if there's a time, turn up for it.
See, what we used to do is keep the door closed, and then at a good part, say during a hymn or a song,
yeah.
open the door and quickly let the parents in so they weren't distracting.
The boring bits, yes.
But the children have worked extremely hard to put these plays on, yeah. and parents should respect that and arrive in plenty of time.
Claire, did you ever have to make up roles so that all of the kids got parts? I mean, was yours one of those nativity plays that had Daleks and dustbins and spacemen and things?
Well, I was year six. So we did services rather than
okay,
plays.
Okay,
so every child used to have a line. Yeah.
So kids were doing and reading and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. And I think the foundation staff did make up a role for every child, yes.
And you used to really stress about it.
It's dreadful, every teacher
really?
Does, because you want your child, or your class, sorry, to do as well as they can. And as
funny?
A teacher, you're out of control when they're acting,
yeah.
so it is quite stressful.
I'd never thought of it like that. I'd never thought of it as a stressful experience for the teacher.
And the teachers do not scowl at the parents when the mobile phone goes off during the plays as well.
Good,
yeah.
good. Claire, thank you very much indeed. Good. Set your phone to airplane mode, please, because you want your phone on because you want to take pictures. And that's a myth, isn't it, that you can't take pictures at nativity plays because of paedophiles? That's a myth, isn't it? That never actually happened. That's like some Muslims complaining about the term Christmas, so it's called Winter Festival. That never happened. Those things never happened. No school has ever stopped people, parents, from taking pictures of the nativity play in case those pictures fell into the hands of paedophiles. I'll be honest, I don't think paedophiles get aroused by young children wearing tea towels round their heads. I don't think those are considered particularly erotic in the paedophile fraternity. 03453 009956. Nora's on the line. Nora, was this school right to stop the mums and dads going in to see the nativity?
Yes, definitely.
Go on, tell me why.
Definitely, because if that person had been going to catch a train or a bus from Digby's coach station,
yeah.
she would have been there on time to get on it.
Well, supposing the coach had been, if she's come all the way up from London, supposing yeah. the coach had been stuck in traffic on the M6.
Yeah,
not her fault, is it? The coach was supposed to maybe get in at 1 o'clock and it didn't get in until 1:45. Nightmare scenario.
No, you get an earlier coach if you're going to be arriving for something, a function, correct?
Well, you, if at all possible, maybe this was the... I don't know what the coaches are like between that there London and this here Birmingham. But maybe that was the only one that was available.
No, definitely not.
Gosh.
We're not that desperate for coaches.
You're cold. Nora, some people might say you're cold and heartless.
I am. The children...
Oh, you've made me chuckle, Nora. Thank you.
The children have practised for weeks for this.
Yeah, and then their mum and dads don't get to see it. That must be heartbreaking for them.
Exactly. I'm a grandmother. I'll be 70 after Christmas.
No, blimey, here we go.
And I have filled in for my son and his missus.
Yeah.
To come and see my granddaughter, who was playing a cornet.
A what?
Yeah.
Oh, she was playing the instrument of the cornet.
Yes.
He said,
"My." All the different classes of the different children, the class numbers,
yes.
had all different instruments.
Yes.
So I went there at 1:30 or just before 1:30 when it was due to start. They opened the doors
this
at half
like
past
an anecdote.
One.
Yes.
And everybody went in.
Yeah.
To see their children. But if you've got one starting to play their instrument at 1:45, it isn't really fair on the rest, is it?
Nora, thank you very much. 03453 00956. What are we talking about? Well, we'll play a clip from the caller, Alice, in a bit. Was the school right to say, no, you can't come in?
Champion for the West Midlands.
Now then, a while ago, Dave from Bilston got in touch with me about a problem with his broadband. He'd moved into a brand new house and ordered broadband and phone services. However, months after he moved, he was still waiting for them to be installed. Well, Dave has called us this morning with an update. Good morning, Dave.
A new hero for mid-mornings.
Good morning, Danny.
I am keeping everything crossed. My fingers, my legs, my arms. I'm hoping it's a good update.
Danny Kelly.
Well, the clue is that I'm ringing you on my new landline number.
Congratulations. Did you get the impression that because we lent on them, they were more forthcoming?
Absolutely. I think it rattled a few cages.
Yeah. Dave, that's fabulous.
Danny Kelly, weekdays from 9.
BBC WM
95.6.
I've just been handed some text. Thank you, Producer Joe. By the way, Producer Joe and I are here every Friday, 2 till 4. Every Saturday, 9 till 12. We're also going to be on, is it New Year's Day that we're doing, which is a Thursday, I think. Do we know what time we're going to be on New Year's Day? 2 till 4 on that Thursday, and then we're doing the show 2 till 4 on the Friday as well, blimey. We're going to be on New Year's Day. Don't panic, we won't be coming in live. It's going to be, we're going to play some classic clips, and you'll get to hear Producer Joe. Because we're going to do the show together. We're going to record it tomorrow. So it should be a lot of fun. It's a contractual obligation, and they're always fun. We'll go back to the story of the primary school. That no, it will be fine. It'll be good. We're going to get... I think we're going to bully Ranjit mercilessly. We've not told him that's what we're going to do yet, have we? Oh, he knows, does he? Oh, well, he knows.
Yeah, we'll get back to the school in a bit that refused to let some parents into the nativity play because they turned up late. So far, no support for the parents. 03453 009956. But we spoke to Alan earlier on, who was hinting or branding Malala a hypocrite because she had strived for education for young women, and yet she was bunking off to go to Sweden to collect a Nobel Peace Prize. Well, some of you are quite angry at that. It's weird. Since doing this show here and the Saturday show, I've noticed that there are a lot of people in Birmingham and the West Midlands that have got real problem with Malala. And I don't know why. So, some of you have said it's because we're paying for her education, or, you know, because she's... I don't understand how anybody could have a problem with a young girl that was shot in the head because she was reading a book and then came here to study. I don't understand how anyone could have a problem, but some of you do. Incredible. Although not these two texts. Andy says, Alan's opinions are a joke. Malala, who went to school even though she was banned by the Taliban and was shot. Don't really think she's bunking off school, though, is she, Alan? Alan is clearly a jealous person who wishes he could get a prize, but with his attitude never will. Hilarious. Well, I don't know that. And Layla says, attending school is compulsory until age 16. After that, it's a choice. To continue, if Malala takes time off school to collect her Nobel Peace Prize, she will no doubt take responsibility for catching up any work missed. It should be pointed out that this girl was shot in the head and it's a miracle she survived. People like that man, Alan, who called in, should commend Malala instead of sounding like a jealous child. And I do scratch my head sometimes after doing these shows, how anybody could have beef with Malala. If you want to, I'm happy to go down that route. 03453 009956. About 25 minutes ago, we took a call from a woman called Alice, not her real name. She had turned up at her primary school 10 minutes after her child's nativity play had started.
We arrived at the primary school for our children's nativity play, and it started at 2 o'clock. And we some of the parents arrived at 10 past, quarter past. Up until 10:30, there was parents arriving, and there's about 15 parents of us. As soon as we got to the school at 10 past, we were refused entry. Even there was a parent whose wife was sitting inside in the nativity, and they wouldn't let the husband inside.
Was the school right to tell the parents they couldn't come in? No support for the parents so far. Glenn's on the line. Afternoon, Glenn.
Good afternoon.
Who's right, Glenn, the school or the parents?
100% the school are right.
Go on, tell me why.
I'm sure it's not by pure fluke. Your two threads, I think, are linked.
Go on.
The thread of people giving up seats or opening doors, and parents not attending school at the correct time. It comes down to, we've heard the word before of respect, but it's not only respect, it's also politeness and manners.
Mm.
And schools are not there just to teach academic... I've lost the thread of what I was saying.
It's just
academic knowledge.
Yeah.
They're there to teach manners and politeness. And surely it's only polite and manners for the parents, whatever reason, and I do mean literally whatever reason, if you're late, it is polite and your manners to forego seeing that, have the opportunity to see your child. Things do happen, things do make you late, but then you have to back up the school in teaching the children manners.
Glenn,
they will know in the future not to be late.
Glenn, half an hour late, yeah, too late, jog on, go on. But if you're 10 minutes late, OK, your kiddie is going to be heartbroken knowing that that mummy and daddy were outside but they weren't allowed in. The school is... the school's punishing the children, isn't it?
No, I don't say that the school's punishing the children. They're actually teaching the children, and as I say, I see them as teaching the children manners. It's then up to the parents to again back up the school and to explain to the children that it was their fault, not the children, the parents. It was their fault that they weren't allowed in.
Wow.
And they can explain to the child, for whatever the reason was, that they were late.
Have you got kids, Glenn?
Yes, I'm going to knock kids now, grown up.
It's interesting. I'm kind of erring on the side of the nose, but I can understand if I was a parent and something had happened. Glenn, thank you for that. And something had happened completely beyond my control. You know, I was expecting to get there at half one, half an hour early, and something happened. I end up 10 minutes late. Oh, I'd be furious. Be furious. Danny, are you on the side of the parents?
No, not at all.
Oh, blimey. No. We need to get Alice back before the end of the show and put all of this to her. Go on.
I imagine this parent is the same parent that parks her people carrier or a four-wheel drive car with three wheels on the pavement because she's in a rush every morning, the double yellows, on the zigzags.
We don't know that, Danny.
Races the kids into school. But no, it's all that. It's organisation. The world doesn't revolve around one single parent or a group of parents that are late. And the teachers do work extremely hard.
Yeah.
And it disrupts the whole balance.
But Danny, we don't know anything. We don't know anything about Alice who called in. And I'm sure she's a wonderful parent, and I'm sure she's not one of those people you suggested, but maybe, you know, one of her family members travelled all the way up from London on a coach.
That sounds like an insurance claim.
Sorry?
In the making, that does. Oh, we lost all this money travelling up and we weren't allowed into the performance.
I don't think National Express. I don't think National Express are going to pay out because they didn't get into a nativity play.
No, but this is the culture that we live in. Their life's been ruined. It'll be a never-ending sob
story. Do you not have even the tiniest bit of sympathy for Alice who called in?
I've missed nativity plays because my employees wouldn't allow me the time off. And I was only talking an hour?
So you're jealous?
And, no, I've been to nativities, but I've also been in nativities when they've let parents in half an hour in, and it's just caused bedlam.
Bedlam, Danny, thank you very much indeed. I suspect bedlam may be a slight exaggeration. We have to get Alice back on before the end of the show and put all this to her. I did say I'd throw it out to you, dear listener, and we're getting your opinion. There must be somebody who's on the side of the parents. There must be. It can't all be one-way traffic here, guys. 03453 009956.
My heart and my soul.
I got to speak to Eric Morecambe's son today. Gary Morecambe, nicest bloke in the world. Nicest bloke in the world. We can throw that out for the last half hour to lighten things up a bit. Ever met the relative of someone famous? And were they nice or nasty? He was so delightful. I was so proud to talk to Eric Morecambe's son and talk to him about Eric Morecambe. 03453 009956. This is Ian Lee, BBC WM. Well, you know, we come in and I've got half a dozen things to talk about and we've not really touched them. We started off talking about chivalry, and by the way, it was a fluke that these two things kind of went hand in hand. It sounds like we put a lot of preparation into the show. Trust me, we don't. No, we don't. The Saturday show we prepare for, this one we just kind of rock up. Do I get a pay cut now? 03453 009956. We've talked about chivalry, we've talked about Candy Crush. And now we're asking, was a school right to turn parents away from a nativity play? We'll take more of your calls after we get the latest news with David Moore.
Well, the travel news is such that the M42 southbound, that has broken down vehicle which has blocked a lane. That's at junction 1 for Bromsgrove. The inside lane is closed there. We've also got another broken down vehicle causing problems on the M6 southbound. That's around junction 10 for Wolverhampton and Warsaw. Again, the inside lane of the four there is closed. Traffic starting to build generally now on Friday afternoon. The Ulster Road is looking busy out of Birmingham, both in King's Heath and on the approach to the Maypole. And in Brierley Hill, we've got some temporary traffic lights due to a burst water main on Delph Road at Hill Street. It's a very, very busy route, so you can expect delays as the rush hour approaches. Finally, in Warsaw, we've got some stop-start traffic and delays on the A454 eastbound. That's as you approach the M6 at Junction 10. If you can update us, call BBC WM 95.6 Travel on 08453 00288.
Thank you very much indeed.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM 95.6.
Hey, it's 3:30. Let's get the news now. Here's Chris.
Thank you, Ian. Good afternoon. A pensioner has been found guilty of attacking his teenage ex-girlfriend with acid in the Black Country because she finished with him. Vicky Horseman, who was 19 at the time, suffered serious burns to her face and neck when the liquid was thrown at her after she answered the door in Tiverdale in April. 80-year-old Mohammed Rafiq, who's from Smethwick, got two other men to help him. The latest figures for accidents and emergency departments in England show they're failing to meet new waiting time targets. They're expected to see 95% of patients within 4 hours. Managers at Heartlands in Birmingham, meanwhile, say their E&E department's under extreme pressure and they're warning people to stay away if they can. Water bills in England and Wales will be cut by 5% over the next 5 years. The people who regulate the industry, Ofwat, have ordered suppliers to fix their prices, and it means the average bill will fall by around £20 a year. And BBC WM listeners have pledged more than £1,000 to help a family whose Christmas presents were stolen. Laura Granger from Rugeley in Staffordshire has got two boys who are 18 months and 3 years old. She'd put their presents in the garage attached to their house for safekeeping, but they were broken into. And the weather dry with sunny spells this afternoon, highs of 8 Celsius, 46 Fahrenheit, turning cold and frosty overnight with lows down to -1. A cold and frosty start tomorrow, dry and sunny during the day tomorrow with highs for Saturday of 6 Celsius, 43 Fahrenheit.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country, BBC WM 95.6.
I met Rod Stewart's sister once, and unfortunately for her, she looked exactly like Rod Stewart. Exactly like Rod Stewart. She had the mole, the haggard, leathery face, and the horrible hair. She was a very nice lady, but... 03453 00956. You've met Patrick Troughton's, one of the best, one of the top five Doctor Who's grandsons, which producer Joe. Not you, dear listener. Maybe you have. I don't know. Perhaps you have. 03453 00956. Chivalry, Candy Crush, and this school. Were they right to say no to a load of parents who turned up late for the nativity, saying, no, you can't come in? No one stood up for the parents yet, Frieda.
Oh, my God. Do you want to know something?
Yeah, I do.
Right.
I want to know something.
Well...
Shall I tell you what I want to know?
You can't always put the blame on the parents.
I want to know
up.
What love is.
Right.
I want you to show me. I want to know what love is. I want you to hold me. Could you do that for me, Frida?
I'll send my arms to you and wrap around you for Christmas.
Thank you very much indeed. That's very, very sweet, if a little bit creepy. Imagine if a box of arms turned up tomorrow at BBC WM. Boy, oh boy, would we be... well, I'd take them home and scare the children. That's what those things are for. Frida, please get to the point. As the show finishes at 4 o'clock, and I need to get it finished by four for Paul Franks. So stop beating around the bush and spit it out, my love.
Well, what it is that how does it affect the children? It affects the children not seeing the parent there. But if the parent turned up, you imagine the boost of that child seeing the parent there.
Yeah.
So to kind of let them out, there's a question mark, it wasn't good.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else there. Hello?
No.
Oh,
hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me? Hello?
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 Oh, gosh.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you clearly.
Well, I can hear you. So what's...
You're playing up again.
No, I'm not playing anything. Nothing has happened. I thought you were going to say more, Frida.
I could say more, but I'm thinking you've got to hurry up, haven't you?
Well, yeah, I know. It's just Paul Franks kicks off if we overrun. He gets very, very angry. But supposing the parents go in and they've missed little Johnny's line and he hasn't noticed they're not in, but then he sees them coming in. He's going to be devastated. That's the kind of stuff that 40 years hence will have him in therapy.
That can be distressing. I mean, we're all guilty. Everybody is guilty of not getting in there on time sometimes.
Well,
no,
hang on. Not everyone. I'm not guilty.
You've got me now.
Yeah, I've got you, Frida, right where I want you, on the ropes. I have never turned up late for a performance by my son.
Well done.
I didn't turn up for the last performance at
all. There's a percentage of parents that are good that way, and there's a percentage of parents that's not.
I wonder what the percentage is.
Well, you're finding out on the radio now, aren't you?
Hazard a guess.
Pardon?
Hazard a guess.
Have a guess. I'd say about 89%.
Fair play. I mean, you've literally made that... Can I ask you something, right?
What? Yeah.
There's a story in one of the papers, and I'm going to struggle to find it now that I want it right. It's a jogger, OK? Are you married, Frida?
No.
Have you ever been married?
No.
I wonder why. Sorry? No.
Oh, my God.
What? Well, what? I wonder why.
Because I was there looking after my child in hospital.
Good for you.
Because he had a life-threatening, and then my part had a life-threatening situation. And what happened? He left me because I was there for my son.
Well, good for you. Well done. We've discussed
so
that
I'm
with us
bothered.
Before. You're not bothered?
No,
you're not bothered. There's a fella.
I'm a good man.
Sorry?
I'm a good mum.
Oh, well, you're a brilliant mum, Frida. I'm not knocking you as a mum, he said, backtracking desperately to try and get out of this hole that he's dug, but suspecting he's digging the hole a little bit deeper.
Oh, never mind.
Never mind.
It'll make your show even more exciting.
It does a little bit of tension. There's a jogger, right?
Yeah.
Who has proposed... The way he proposed to his girlfriend... Now, is this romantic? I don't think this is romantic, right? So what he did was he jogged a route that spelt out, "Will you marry me?" on a GPS, on the computer, and then he took a picture of that and he posted it on his wife's, on his fiancée's, his girlfriend's Facebook page. Yeah. A romantic jogger proposed to his sweetheart by running a route which electronically spelt out, "Will you marry me?" on his GPS sports app. Ben Chudley plotted an intricate 5-mile course in Portsmouth so the words would show up on his iPhone's tracker.
Yeah.
That's not very romantic, is it?
Do something like that, it is romantic.
What, running and then sending her a picture of a map?
Yeah, because it's actually spelling it out. He's running his heart out for her.
Yeah, but why doesn't he? Well, yeah, but I know, but come on, man, get on your knees. Go and do it properly.
Yeah, you know what? I like the old fashioned way. Meet the father first.
Mm. Yeah, I did that.
All the family together.
Yeah. What?
Nice. And then the big wedding. Proper way of a man should do that.
Exactly. But that's not romantic. He then posted the picture on Facebook, so it was difficult for her to say no. No.
What can I say? A lot of relationships could end on texts.
Yeah, texts. I love it. Frida, we're cool, aren't we, Frida?
We're cool, and we'll be even cooler when the snow starts dropping down.
Bring it on,
jingle
baby.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Thank you, Frida. You're a delightful fruitcake. Bye-bye.
Okay.
I think managed to turn that around just. Not one of my smartest moves, but never mind. It's live, kids. It's live. 03453-00956. Ken, stay there. Come to you after Buggles.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52. Lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
Well, we've only had one person in support of the parents who weren't allowed into the nativity play. Into the nativity play, it's easy for you to say. Into the nativity play. 03453-00956. We'll see if we can get Alice back on and put it to her that the majority of callers to this show think that, the school were right to let her in. And you can also let me know what you think about this. I hate these wacky and crazy proposal stories. Listen, running a route that spells "Will you marry me" is not romantic. It is, I would suggest, sad. You've got to get down on one knee. You've got to go and ask the dad for permission. Get down on one knee and do it in a romantic place. All right, aren't I, Ken?
You are totally right, yes, mate.
Are you married, Ken?
I'll be married 40 years this Sunday.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, this Sunday? That's brilliant. What are you doing to celebrate?
Not today, because she's listening.
Oh. You're going to take her out for fish and chips?
Not fish and chips, fish or chips.
Now, how did you do it, Ken? How did you propose to Mrs. Ken?
I done the old-fashioned way. I went and saw her father, asked if I could marry her, and he says, if she wants you, she can have you.
The old days.
She said, yeah.
And where did... Because I went and asked for permission. Well, heaven knows what I would have done if they'd have said no. It's traditional, well, yeah. Isn't it? It's the tradition.
In hindsight, I wish you had done, but never mind.
Never mind, you're starting now. And where did you do it, Ken? Where was the big moment?
In the lounge of a public house with all the sisters there, mother and father there, my mother and father there.
Oh, no, the family were there?
Yeah.
In a boozer?
Well, yes, it was the lounge.
Oh, it was the lounge of the boozer.
Wasn't the 4L bar?
No, it was in the lounge. Oh, very swank. Oh, in that case, there's a lot of... I don't like people who propose on television. I think that's unfair.
No, if I were to get to a baseball match or a football match in America and it comes up on the big screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then
Davey wants to ask Melanie a question.
But then
look at the screen. And she goes, no.
But you were kind of chancing it, doing it in front of all of your families.
Well, we decided was that if any other family sooner said no, we'd still get married anyway and lump it.
Yeah, that'll teach them. Ken, who was right? The school to not let these parents in to see the nativity play, or the parents' right to have beef?
I think it's the parents' right to have beef, and I want to sort of, like, expand on that a bit.
Go on, expand.
It was a nativity play, right? The parents were late. Okay, fair enough. They had good reasons to be late, by the sound of it. Children were still going into... This is all I can hear from the radio, anyway.
Yep.
Children were still going into the hall, so the play itself hadn't started. Now, the act of the nativity play is to show compassion and goodwill to all men. Now, the teachers who turned around to those people and said, no, you can't come in, didn't show much compassion for the children.
Oh, Ken, you're good.
Now, there was one guy who said the teachers are there to teach them manners.
Yeah.
Yes, they're there to teach them manners, but they're also there to teach them compassion.
Yeah.
And little Johnny's going to turn and say, my mummy and daddy were late, but at least Mrs., I don't know, Francis, whatever,
yeah,
let them in, come in and said, or my mummy and daddy was late and Mrs. Francis was horrible because she didn't let him in.
Oh, Ken, you're good, because, of course, the story of the nativity, the innkeeper said, yeah, come on, everybody in.
Yeah, I know he didn't, did they? So that's the thing. But, you know, it's one of those, it's to teach kids compassion as well as manners. But just going on with schools, I'm a photographer, and I was asked by 15 parents to go in to a nativity play last year and photograph, not the whole thing, but their children in their costumes. I had written permission from them.
Yeah.
I went into the school. Because that's where they wanted it done, obviously. So I did a nice group photograph of the kids, of the ones who wanted it.
Yeah.
And halfway through doing them, singular prints, and I was asked to stop because I hadn't got permission from the education sort of thing.
Who asked you? One of the teachers?
Yeah, one of the teachers. It was the deputy headmistress come over and said, excuse me, did you know you're not supposed to take photographs to children in school? I said, excuse me, I have permission from the parents. Because you have to be careful these days.
I tell you what I have seen at a school thing. The teacher has stood up and said, look, I'm really sorry, I have to do this. Does anybody object to pictures being taken? Are we we're all okay with that? Brilliant, okay, then take pictures. I've seen that happen.
Yeah, I've seen that happen numerous times. But this over-officious, very brusque woman came over to me and said, excuse me, you have to stop that.
Oh, Ken.
You can't take photographs.
Ken, listen, I've got to move on, but I think she sounds like one of those people that's being offended on behalf of other people who aren't actually offended. 03453 00956, 15 minutes left. Jill, stay there!
A new champion for the West Midlands.
Now then, a while ago, Dave from Bilston got in touch with me about a problem with his broadband. He'd moved into a brand new house and ordered broadband and phone services. However, months after he'd moved, he was still waiting for them to be installed. Well, Dave has called us this morning with an update. Good morning, Dave.
A new hero for mid-mornings.
Good morning, Danny.
I am keeping everything crossed. My fingers, my legs, my arms. I'm hoping it's a good update.
Danny Kelly.
Well, the clue is that I'm ringing you on my new landline number.
Congratulations. Did you get the impression that because we lent on them, they were more forthcoming?
Absolutely. I think it rattled a few cages.
Yeah. Dave, that's fabulous.
Danny Kelly, weekdays from 9.
BBC WM.
95.6.
Earlier on, we spoke to a woman called Alice. Not her real name, but I gave her the name Alice. I'm saying Alice a lot because a member of the WM team has just messaged me saying, could you please stop saying Alice, as I keep thinking I'm being called and I keep turning around. So, no, I'm going to say it more, Alice. Jill, whose side are you on? The schools or the parents, including Alice?
Definitely the parents.
Oh, go on, tell me why.
Because the parents turn up, it's a one-off, they're going to turn up to see little Johnny or little Betty or whatever their name is. And, of course, the parents want to come in, they should be allowed to go in and see their children act on this one particular day.
Alice has sent me a very rude message. But they turn.
No, she should.
Very rude. I don't think you're allowed to use words like that on the BBC internal messaging service. But they've turned up late, Jill. The Alice who we spoke to was 10 minutes late. Some of the parents were half an hour late.
Absolutely, and they should still go in. And everything I've just said is a complete and utter lie.
Sorry?
I don't believe it for one second. I think the parents are so wrong.
What
If you go to a theatre and you're late, you're not allowed in. Rules of the theatre. Oh, I got you, didn't it?
Yeah, you did. I suspect that you may be a lunatic, but I'm glad. You're right. When you go to a proper theatre, you could, sometimes you don't get let in at all. Sometimes you get let in at appropriate moments.
Yes, absolutely. Or you might have to wait until the interval. They may let you stand at the back, but they probably won't let you walk all the way down to the front and move everybody just to sit down.
Jillie,
so no, the parents shouldn't be allowed in. I'm sorry, and I know it's awful, but I don't turn up late. Why do they turn up late? Even with good reasons, I'm sorry. You just have to wait.
Jill, can I ask, are you married?
Yes.
How was the proposal done?
I've never been proposed to. So,
what? this is worse than the jogger. Never. How did you get married?
Well, we haven't got married. You know, you stand in front of somebody. No, what happened was I went round to his flat. And it was February 28th, and it was going to be February 29th the following day.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, OK, it's up to me, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we sat around watching, I think there was actually snooker on at the time, and we were watching the telly, and he got a watch, like the old watches in those days, this is 30 years ago,
yeah,
with a date on it.
Yes.
And it went, and it clicked over at midnight, and it went from the 28th to the 1st, and it didn't go to the 29th.
Uh-oh.
And he went, oh, look, didn't go to the 29th, and I thought that was his way of saying, forget it, I know what you're going to do. So I just looked at him, and he looked at me, and I said, well, he said, oh, go on, then. And that was
flipping
it.
Flipping heck. Jill, where's the romance? And over the snooker?
Oh, but he is romantic. He's taking me to my 60th birthday next year, and he's just agreed that we can go on a cruise.
Oh, well, well done, you, Jill. It's nice to talk to you, and thank you very much. There are couples that do that. Should we get married, then? Yeah, why not? Sounds like a great basis for a marriage.
Step into Christmas there.
with all this? I'm still not feeling Christmassy. I don't know. It's weird this year. The boys at home are so excited and I'm not feeling it. Maybe we'll talk about that more tomorrow. I'll be here with producer Joe tomorrow between 9 and 12. It's been an odd show. We've talked about chivalry, we've talked about Candy Crush, we've talked about, and we'll see if we can get Alice back, the parent who was denied access to the school nativity play. We've also, well, it turns out lots of you have got beef with Malala. David's in Tamworth. Good afternoon, David.
Hello, Malala Yousafzai, is it? I don't know her surname. But I just want to know when she's coming back to close the library.
Well, it looks like... I cannot believe you've got this amazing library. It's a controversial building, but it's a brilliant library.
Yeah.
And a year after it's opened, you're cutting the hours and you're getting rid of loads of the staff.
So if it's only open 40 hours a week, does that mean it's shut at weekends when some people can't go to it in the week? Yeah?
I think we might have a little look at this tomorrow, because I do... And I know it's, you know, cuts are happening everywhere and it's council cuts and there's lots of cuts being made, but... To reduce the number of staff and the number of hours at a flagship library that's only a year old, it seems a little bit silly, doesn't it?
It just does, yeah. Yeah.
You haven't got beef with Malala, though, have you, David?
No.
I've had another email from Vajid. Vajid, call up. It's the last email I'll read, but call up. He says, I was a Malala cheerleader well before she got shot by the Taliban. That's like saying you liked a band before they became successful, isn't it? It is a bit. He says, the one thing that irks me about Malala is she is being creative with the truth. Girls are not banned from getting an education. Women are not put under lock and key in Pakistan. The problems lie in a few predominantly rural areas with an inherently backward view. Generally, women are treated as equals, and if they don't get an education, it's due to poverty, not discrimination. Pakistan has elected a female prime minister. I've been to Pakistan. I mean, it was 16 years ago. But women are treated terribly over there. Terribly over there. David, listen, I've got to move on because we're getting to the end of the show. But, Vajid, I appreciate your emails. But, we're going to go to Alice now. We're going to go to Alice was the what, sorry? But let's see how we get with Alice. Alice, you called in earlier on. You were denied... Hello?
Hi, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm here.
Yeah, you're right. You were denied access to the school nativity play because you turned up 10 minutes late and other families turned up half an hour late. Have you been able to speak to the school yet or the headmaster or anyone?
We haven't, no. We've had nothing. We've had no reply from them. I was saying that we were late, but the reason that the matter is the fact is that we weren't given a pre-warning. They'd given us a letter about the nativity and we'd bought tickets for the nativity.
Yeah.
But we weren't warned about this, that if the parents are 10 minutes late or 50 minutes late, then they won't be admitted into the hall.
Can I read you some texts that we've received?
Okay, yes.
Jan says, "How dare they turn up late? He was right not to let them in. Rude." Chris has said, "The school were right not to let the latecomers in. Schools are always telling the kids to be on time. What is that telling the kids if their parents can't be bothered to get there on time?" And we've only had, Alice, one phone call from somebody that supports the parents. I wonder what your reaction was to that.
Oh, my God. And I think they should be more supportive towards the parents as well, because every parent that came there, there's about 15 parents, not just me.
Yeah.
There's 15 parents, and every person had their own excuse. What about the man that was standing outside and his wife was sitting inside? They wouldn't let him inside.
Well,
I guess
the argument was that he was still late. His wife had managed to turn up. And I'm not having a go, Alice, and I hope this doesn't feel like we've got you on to have a pop. I'm just letting you know what the listeners have said. His wife managed to turn up on time.
He dropped his wife outside the gate.
Oh,
he
right.
went inside. He said, "I'm going to go and park the car."
Right.
Came back late, parked the car, come back inside, and they've not let him inside.
I can hear a young voice in the background. Is that the young person that was in the nativity play?
That's my daughter.
Oh, have you seen your kid that was in the nativity play? Have you managed to speak to them and explain why you couldn't turn, why you weren't there?
I did, but she doesn't want to talk about it.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah,
oh, Alice.
She's upset about it.
Yeah,
because they saw us going into the hall. And even the hall wasn't even packed. There were still parents coming in. The governors were still coming in while we were standing there waiting to go in. They'd let the governors in, but they didn't let the parents in.
Oh, Alice, I'm really sorry that you missed it. I'm sorry for you and I'm sorry for your little girl. Try and get her to do her lines and her songs this evening if you can. And I really I really appreciate you calling and let us know.
Okay.
Thank you so much for your time. I'm really sorry about that, Alice. Ah, it's a shame, isn't it? You're a cold lot, you are. Having a pop at Malala, having a pop at Alice. Anyway, that's it. That's your lot from us. If you want to listen to more of this nonsense, producer Joe and I will be back tomorrow between 9 and 12, every Saturday between 9 and 12, every Friday between, hang on, what is it? Yes, 2 and 4. If you want to send me an email, you're more than welcome to ian.lee, IAIN.LEE at bbc.co.uk. And I tell you what, tomorrow at some point, we will have a little look at the library. The Birmingham Library, where the hours and the staff are being cut 1 year after it opened. Right, let's get the travel news now. Here's David Moore.
We've got some very slow traffic due to an earlier broken down vehicle that's affecting the M6 southbound between Junction 10 for Wolverhampton and Warsaw and Junction 9 for Wensbury. All lanes have reopened, but it is still very, very slow there. M54 westbound also still very slow and delays between Junctions 2 and 3 at the moment. If you can update us, call BBC WM 95.6 Travel on 08453 00228.
Waking up the West Midlands with the latest news, sport, weather and travel updates. Pete Morgan at breakfast is back Monday morning from 6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM 95.6.
Very good afternoon. Ian Lee back tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. And you don't want to miss that. Before we do anything else, let's just get the main news on BBC WM at 4 o'clock with Rebecca Hughes.